We turn in God's Word this morning to James chapter 5. James 5, the text for the sermon is verses 14 and 15 of this chapter. Let's first read the chapter in its entirety. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May he bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures unto your hearts. The text that we consider is verses 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, the command that we find in this text is hardly a popular command in today's day and age. Man comes with a host of objections as to why he ought not call upon the elders when he or she is sick. Some might raise objections that are more doctrinal. They would point to the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church has taken this particular text and have misunderstood it and have established one of their seven sacraments from this text, the sacrament of extreme unction. It is the anointing of the sick before one passes away. And one might say a lot of a fear of falling into the danger of Roman Catholicism. I'm not going to abide by this text. Others might have more practical objections to a text like this. Some will reverse the order that this text words it. Instead of it being the sick calling the elders, they'll reverse it and they'll say, the elders should call me. Even apart from me reaching out to the elders should be the ones contacting me. Others will replace the word elder with the world or the wisdom of this world. Instead of calling the elders, one will call for help. But instead of calling for the men whom God has called to serve as elders, one will reach out to the wisdom and the counselors of the world and seek their secular insight and application unto their lives. Who has the necessary humility to acknowledge, I need the elders? And the way I'm going to show that I acknowledge my need for the elders is in this way: I will call them when I am sick. Calling on the elders. We'll consider first who the elders are, second, how we call on them, and then third, what we receive as we call upon them. First, a few words about who are the elders. Text informs us that elders are of the church. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And the church, you understand, doesn't refer to the brick and mortar that makes up the physical structure in which we worship. But the church, rather, is a reference to the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. The church refers more specifically to the local instituted congregation. The church consists of people, those who have been chosen by God, those elected by Him from before the foundations of the world, those who acknowledge that of themselves they are sinners and thus destitute and have no hope of themselves, and yet those to whom God has given grace and mercy revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed them with His own blood. The text tells us that elders are of the church, and the idea here is this, that elders are out of, they come from the church. The elders are not of the world. The elders are not people that have wise business sense, who are accomplished businessmen of the world. Elders are not those who are good politicians and who are recognized for their political insights. The elders are not those who have been appointed to positions of authority in the government. But rather, elders come of the church. They're part of the fabric of the congregation. They are sons of the church. And so there is then a word to elders. Elders must remember that indeed you are of the church. And elders may not then live aloof or distant from the church. It's not the case that when God calls one to be an elder, a presbyter, who has oversight over the congregation, that then the elder may think that he no longer needs the congregation, that he may live independent or separate from the congregation, but rather the elder is of the church. Jesus Christ was of the church. He's the bridegroom of the church. He's the elect of God. Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, knew the sheep. He fellowshipped with the sheep. He broke bread. He ate with the sheep. And so the elders then must receive and be mindful of that duty to be of the church. But then the members of the congregation receive them as part of the church. The temptation when viewing those in positions of authority is to separate one from that person in authority. And then because one is separated even a certain distance from that one in authority, then the temptation is to become critical, perhaps even suspicious of those who are in positions of authority. You who are members of the congregation, remember that elders are of the church. Second, elders are men of prayer and faith. We read this in the beginning of verse 15, which speaks of the work of the elders, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The fact that elders offer these prayers of faith means that elders are men, must be men, of prayer and faith. Prayer and faith are inseparable, you understand. Faith is the union that we have with Jesus Christ, by which we receive the blessings of Jesus Christ. Prayer is holy conversation. By prayer we speak unto our God. By prayer we praise God for His greatness and His holiness. By prayer we supplicate God, petitioning Him. By prayer, we ask God for the remission of our sins through Jesus Christ, and we thank Him for the blessings that He showers down upon us in His love and in His mercy. The one who prays unto God, who frequently bends the knees and cries out unto God in supplication, is the one who has faith. The one who believes that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, is the one then who cries out unto God from his heart with the confidence that the everywhere present God will hear this prayer. Elders are and must be men of prayer and faith. You must be men of prayer and faith because, as it were, you stand on the front line of the battle. And you face enemies stronger than you. There is opposition to elders. God has placed the elders on Zion's walls as watchmen, and the devil knows that. And the devil sends forth his fiery darts intended to deceive the elders. There's opposition from without that elders receive, threatenings, resistance to their labors, ridicule, slandering of their name and reputation. There are struggles within, disappointments that elders face in their labors. Grief of heart when labors do not go the way that one desired. Sacrifices that elders make, giving up time with their family members in order faithfully to carry out the work of office. Elders are and must be men of prayer and faith. Third, elders are anointed. We read of that in the second half of verse 14. And let them pray over him, anointing him, this is the sick person, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So the assumption is here that elders have access unto a reservoir of oil. When the sick come to the elder, then the elder anoint that sick with oil. Well, where are the elders going to draw this oil? You know what oil pictures, the Holy Spirit. Where will elders draw this oil with which to anoint the sick? Is it the case that they have at their disposal a large reservoir, a tank, as it were, so that as the cattle farmer opens the grain bin and there flows out the corn, so the elder, as it were, can open the door and there flows out the oil of the Holy Spirit? No, that's not the case. It's not as if the elders have personal reservoirs of the Holy Spirit. But it's this: the elders receive oil from God. God pours out upon the elders oil, and God is pleased to use the elders as vessels through which holy oil is then given to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ. As the elders receive this oil, are anointed with oil, Jesus Christ himself does two things unto them. He calls them unto office. It's not man who puts the elder in office, but it's Jesus Christ himself who has ascended up on high and led captivity captive, who then gives unto the church the gift of elders. And then number two, Jesus Christ, as he anoints the elders with this holy oil, equips them for this work. Jesus Christ hears the prayers of faith that arise from the righteous lips, and Jesus Christ grants unto the elders the strength, the courage, and the wisdom that they need then to be able to go forth and to bring words of consolation and comfort unto the people of God. Jesus, as he gives his Holy Spirit, himself dwells in the elders. They are his ambassadors, sent forth to be his representatives upon the earth. So understanding then something of this text's description of the elders, what then is your relation to the elders as members of the church? The text tells you what is your duty. Your duty is call on them. Verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call. Summon. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. There are differences of opinion about who the sick person is. Some would understand the word sick must be understood literally in the sense of being physically sick. So is one ill in their body? Does one have disease, diagnosis, perhaps? Perhaps an incurable disease, is one injured? Then let that person call for the elders. Others understand the word sickness to refer to a spiritual sickness, a spiritual weakness, a sin, a temptation, even a spiritual sickness that impacts one's mind so that one becomes downcast, depressed. In that case, then the instruction would be to those who have sin, powerful sin, a vice in their lives, those struggling with pornography, drug addiction, those who have a weak marriage, where the devil is working relentlessly to rend apart husband and wife, those who are spiritually sick, call on the elders. Which is it then, physical or spiritual sickness? The context makes clear that the emphasis especially is upon spiritual sickness. In the first place, the Apostle Paul already has covered the subject of physical afflictions in verse 13. Verse 13, he said, is any among you afflicted, that is, physically afflicted, let him pray. But in the second place, the emphasis here is upon spiritual sickness when we look at verse 15. Verse 15, this is the elder praying over the sick person, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The fact that the Lord, through the inspired writer, speaks of the fact that the one who has committed sins being forgiven in the way of the elder praying over this person indicates that the emphasis especially is upon the spiritually sick. Now, the reality is oftentimes these two are connected together. The physically sick person is tempted to become the spiritually sick individual. And the person who spiritually is at a low point in his life can also become the physically sick person. God has created us as body and soul, and there is a close union between the two. You can't entirely separate the body from the soul. Either way, the command is call the elders. Are you sick? Is this a description of you? Are you one who is struggling in a special way against a besetting sin? One who has striven day after day to fight against that sin, and yet you recognize that you are not making headway, you're not growing in grace and knowledge of God, then call for the elders. Are you struggling in your married life? Is there tension between husband and wife? Even tension so thick it could be cut with a knife, that has resulted in husband and wife being unable to fellowship one with another, enjoy one another's company, then call for the elders of the church. Who will do it? Who has the necessary humility to acknowledge, I need the help of the elders? If it were up to us, not a single one of us would reach out to the elders for help. I say that not as a searing indictment of you as members of this congregation, but I say that understanding human nature. And human nature is such that the last thing we want to do is reach out to the elders for help, especially for spiritual help. Sin is shameful. Sin is embarrassing. How difficult it is even to disclose sins with which we are struggling to the person closest to us, a spouse, a parent. And now I'm supposed to go to the elders of the church and inform the elders, I have this spiritual sickness in my life and I want you to pray over me. Human nature is to do the exact opposite. We come up with a list of reasons, excuses, why we don't need to reach out to the elders, why perhaps it might be better off if we did not contact them. Aren't the elders busy after all? There's been multiple announcements about the elders needing to reconvene their meetings. And now if I reach out to the elders, that simply is going to add to their work plate. And I don't want to be a burden or a bother unto the elders. And so it's better for me simply to shoulder this burden alone. Give it enough time. I'll get over it by myself eventually. And so I want this morning, beloved, to take a moment to encourage you to heed the command of this verse. And if you are sick, call the elders. Be encouraged. You can do this. You men of this congregation, you fathers who are responsible for providing for your homes, to whom your children and your spouse look for guidance and protection, you can and you may call the elders. You mothers who toil faithfully, earnestly, hour after hour, throughout the hours of the day and the hours of the night for the covenant youth of the church, mothers, you may and you can call the elders of the church if you are sick. You elderly who experience in an especially keen way the tempting of the devil, as the abilities of the body are diminished, you may call the elders. Call them, for it is for the good of your soul to call them. Recall God's promised blessing, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. God incentivizes the sick to reach out unto the elders with this promised blessing, that the prayer of faith will save the sick. The temptation is, I understand, to view calling the elders somewhat like swallowing bitter medicine. You know that you have to take the medicine. You know that once you do take that medicine, the medicine will be for your good, and that after that you will be granted soothing relief of healing. But first there is that step, that undesirable step of swallowing the bitter medicine, and that, I understand, is how one can view calling the elders. Yes, as I look off in the horizon, I desire that future blessing of the prayer of faith which saves the sick. But before I can reach that point in the horizon, first I have to swallow the bitter medicine of calling the elders. I want to assure you, beloved, that to call the elders is not to swallow bitter medicine. Remember who the elders are. Elders are, in the first place, of the church. They are of the fabric of the congregation. They are, as the apostle describes a little bit later on, men of like passions, men who struggle against the same sins and difficulties and hardships that you experience in your lives. These are not men set apart in an ivory tower who have overcome sin and the devil of themselves, but they belong to the church, indeed the church militant. They are fighting day after day against that same threefold enemy against which you fight. Call them, for they are of the church. Two, call them, for they are men of prayer and faith. They would be the first to acknowledge their own shortcomings in this regard, wishing that they were more sincere, more fervent in prayer and faith. Yet nonetheless, they are men of prayer and faith. They have learned through the crucible of trials on this earth that their only hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Number three, call these men, for they've been anointed. Anointed with oil, which is the Holy Spirit. They have the Spirit of God within them, for Jesus kept his word. Jesus promised he would not leave his disciples comfortless, but he would send another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. Having the Spirit of God within them, they have Jesus working in and through them. Call them. There's a great blessing that God promises will be received by those who call them. And the first blessing is simply this: prayers. Prayers on your behalf. Verse 14b, and let them pray over him, over the sick, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is what you will receive when you call the elders: prayers, not gold or silver. The Apostle Peter, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Not promised immediate relief from physical trials, hardships, adversity, but you are assured that you will receive prayers. Allow the elders to pray over you. The text says, let them pray over him. Do not prevent or resist the elders from praying over you. This is the duty of love that they have toward you, praying over you. It is possible that one can reach such a low point spiritually in his life that one feels he no longer can pray unto God. He feels as though his prayers don't make it past the ceiling of the room he's in. Let that individual then receive the prayers from the elders that are offered on his behalf. What power there is in hearing the prayers of others for you. The Apostle Paul frequently petitioned the saints' brethren, pray for us. And the reason that Paul petitioned the saints to pray for him and the other apostles and missionaries was the apostle understood how difficult, how arduous, how lonely is the way of bringing God's word unto the saints. How blessed the Apostle Paul must have been then as he received the prayers of other saints. I remember a time early in my ministry. It had been a difficult week. I was tired at the end of the week, had delivered two sermons on Sunday, and then had Bible study in the evening. And following that Bible study, one of the young adults prayed for the minister. And God used even the prayer of that young adult in a powerful way to encourage my soul, to lift a burden off of me, and to grant unto me strength and consolation at that moment. Do not doubt the power of prayer that comes from righteous lips. And then, not only prayers, but answered prayers on your behalf. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Certainly, this does not mean that every person who has physical illness is going to receive recovery from that illness in the way of the elders' prayers. It's not as if this is a magic wand that guarantees recovery, but rather the emphasis here, beloved, is on those who are spiritually sick, those who have committed sins, those who are sorry for those sins, who have a contrite heart, who feel guilt for those sins, and who then call for the elders to pray over him, anointing him in the name of the Lord. Those who in brokenness summon the elders have this assurance, the prayer of faith shall save them. Your sins will be forgiven through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee for providing this congregation with elders. We thank thee that we may summon them. We thank thee for their willingness to serve, and we pray, Father, wilt thou grant them strength to be able to carry out the work which is before them. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.